It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bob, one of the sentiments that I keep seeing a lot of people try to say is that, you know, I just saw a couple other people, you know, on social media talking about this, that Paul Skeens, he's behind Ben Roethlisberger and Sidney Crosby in terms of the best rookies that we've had, you know, say in the last 20, 30 years. I don't understand why where Ben Roethlisberger was never considered the best quarterback when he was a rookie in the league. Never. Not even one of the top 10. He had 20 touchdowns or 20 whatever it was and 17. I mean, actually, I think he had 17 touchdowns and like 11 interceptions and like 2,600 yards. Crosby, for as good as he was, nobody thought that year he was the best player in hockey. A couple years later, yeah, he started to become the best player in hockey. But his first year, Paul Skeens legitimately is in the argument as the best pitcher in baseball right now. And there's a good chance he's going to win the Cy Young Award. Not forget about the Rookie of the Year. If he continues doing what he's doing, he's probably going to win the Cy Young Award.
Well, I don't know about that so much because that will depend on how many starts he actually gets. And the Pirates may be precautionary, as they seem to be with a lot of these guys. So that may influence it. But I think it is harder in baseball to do what he's done. And you won't find somebody who's come in 10 starts and ever who's done what he's been able to do. Now, those other guys, I think the expectations were very high for Crosby as well, and he met the expectations.
Right.
You know, and Roethlisberger, there were no expectations in the first year until there was an injury, and then he, you know, got an opportunity to play. So,
right, but I'm talking about it, as far as being the best player, you know, the best rookie. I mean, this guy is in the conversation as the best player at his position already. There are probably, if you talk to all the national insiders and everything else, he's probably no worse than what, 5, 4, 3?
Well, he's certainly must see right now, and there's no question about it, just because of how he goes about his business and what he's been able to do, and he's doing things that's never been done before. So I get that, but you know, you got guys like Ohtani and some of these other young pitchers who are dealing as well. He's getting a lot of attention and deserves it. But there's some pretty good ones in there as well. So
there are.
All three different cases, though. I don't look at them similarly. And to make one as the number one is hard for me to do, just because I respect Sidney Crosby was 18 years old, Paul. You know, that's young.
Fine. I'm talking right about being the best rookie. This guy is in a different.
Well, Sidney Crosby was the best rookie.
Well, I'm talking about in Pittsburgh over the last 30 years. This guy, what he's doing is at a different level.
Totally agree.
Than Crosby did, than Ben did, than, you know,
Crosby,
Troy did.
But Crosby had like 101 points on a not a very good team at 18 years of age.
Right.
That's pretty remarkable.
He was pretty good. What this guy is doing is maybe making a case that he's the best pitcher in baseball already. That's all I'm saying. This is a different level than we've seen from just about any rookie that you can come up with.
No, that's why he's an all-star in 10 starts.
Who are the great rookies that we've had? You know what I'm saying?
Well, Crosby and you know, I mean, Roethlisberger in a different way, but Crosby just because of, I find it always difficult, and Skeens has done this just as Crosby has. They have come into their leagues with enormous expectations. through no fault of their own. I mean, they were here. They are these guys, and this is the expectation. Go do it. When you do it, and when you exceed it, pretty special stuff there. And I would put them both in the same category that way.
Right. I mean, I just think it's pretty impressive, really. What he's done has been incredible. Now, there are some really good pitchers at the top of the list in the National League, by the way, right now. I mean, Philadelphia's got three guys right now that are
And Ohtani hasn't even pitched again. But when he does, it will be interesting to see what he does for the Dodgers.
But I'm just saying, if you look at the numbers of some of these guys and then compare what he's done, it's almost incredible. Now there's a lot of guys that that have some of the numbers that he does, but across the board his numbers are ridiculous. You know what I mean? That's what's impressive to me about him, is that he's across the board been so impressive that I don't know.
Well, listen, I would draw this similarity. His effect on baseball and attendance is very similar to Caitlin Clark,
Yeah.
And what it means to the game itself. That's why he's in a different classification, I think, because it's hard to get people to respond by paying money to go to events. And that's what people are doing. They're circling dates that he pitches just as they're circling dates that Caitlin Clark comes to their arenas.
Right.
And that's a whole different conversation, I think, when you include those kind of things.
I mean, if he had the numbers, I mean, if he had the innings, he would be second in strikeouts per nine innings.
And he's going to get the – you hope he does anyway.
Yeah. He would be second in strikeouts per nine innings, which is really incredible if you think about it. I mean, like I said, he is already in the conversation as the best player at his position, not just rookies, everybody. That's what makes him different in my mind.
But it's 10 starts, and I want to see more, and I also want to see – I hope the Pirates, they're going to talk about skipping starts for him and lessening the workload, I think, based on how it sounds,
right,
which could affect him, in terms of voting on different awards. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's unbelievable to watch. And, again, the command of just all the pitches, it's not just his fastball. He knows how to pitch, and he will pitch to you and get you to swing at his pitch. Which
right.
is not easy to do for anyone, let alone a 22-year-old rookie.
Right. I mean, I think that's always, to me, what he's done is just incredible. It really is, if you think about it.
Well, that's why, to your point, you have next year, we're no more excuses. You talk about results. This is year five. You got to start seeing results next year. If you don't see results, then things have got to change, because you're going to have Jones, you're going to have Skeens, you're going to have Keller, all three of them there, and you'll probably add to it with somebody else in their system who's doing well enough to come up and play. It's your responsibility in the offseason then to go out and improve this offense dramatically, because it's just not going to get – I don't care how good you are, and all you have to do is look at Skeens. He's had 10 starts. He has 5 wins. He's never trailed when he's pitched, and yet 5 no decisions because of offense mostly.
Right.
So they got to change that.
I just think, again, he obviously – is not going to get to like the big win totals, but his whip and his strikeouts per nine and his ERA are going to be among the best in baseball. I just think that it's incredible. But when I look at a rookie, like a superstar, great rookie, it's one of those things where, how does he measure up to the rest of the league? That, forget about rookies, to the rest of the league. I mean, let me see. Let's go with, for instance, Michael Jordan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll give you the greatest example of rookie who is otherworldly, right? Is if you go to Wilt Chamberlain. Have you ever looked at his rookie numbers?
Oh,
Wilt Chamberlain, he's like 37.6 points. 27 rebounds a game as a rookie.
I mean, you'll never see that again.
Never. But
no matter what we're talking about.
He won the MVP and the Rookie of the Year, but he won the MVP that year. All I'm saying is, there's a difference between being a great rookie and already being a great player on the scale of everybody that's looking at the sport is saying this guy is one of the best.
He is.
You know?
And I've already seen some, you know, some backlash from maybe players. I saw a couple on anonymous, you know, things. And I guess players don't want to see him start that game just because he's 10 starts into his major league career.
Right.
Well, you're seeing a lot of that from, you know, Caitlin Clark and the backlash that some of this stuff gets just too much too soon. Well, you earned it too.
Well,
now, he's going to pitch in that game. I'm just going to be very curious to see how they utilize him, whether it's at the start, in the fourth inning, a second time around with whoever's in there, third inning. I want to see that. And I think everyone tuning in wants to see it too. He's already, you remember when the Dodgers came here? He made quick work of Mookie Betts, three MVPs of the league, Ohtani and Freddie Freeman. Now, later, Ohtani got the best of him, but the fact is he struck those guys out, and he made it look rather easy, you know?
Right.
That's not easy to do with three MVPs of the league or the top three of the rotation.
Right. Well, again, I just think it's absolutely ridiculous just how good, really. It's just how good this guy is. And so, you know, now, again, it's interesting we have Mitch Keller coming up here, right? Isn't he starting today?
Yep. Going for win number 10. They need it badly.
So if you think about it, I mean, to have him and Skeens and Jones and be five games under 500, you almost have to work to do that. I mean, and you throw in Falter. And even like Perez and Ortiz and whoever, you know what I mean? Outside of maybe a couple of blow-ups by Perez and maybe a blow-up by Priester or whatever, for the most part, for the last 2.5 months, they've sent their starting pitcher has given them a really good opportunity to win the game.
Well, and that's the crime of it all. When you get six in, like yesterday, again, I keep going back to yesterday as kind of a microcosm of the season, six scoreless innings from your starter and you don't win the game. How many times have they had guys go into? And the funny thing about this, at the beginning of the season, I think most people looked at the Pirates and said, just get to the bullpen. If you get Holderman, Chapman, and Bednar in the succession, all you have to do is get six innings. Well, the starters have delivered that. They've gotten the six innings. What they haven't gotten is hitting or the back end of the bullpen doing its job on a consistent level.
Right.
They have 16 blown saves, Paul. Well, okay, so it's a combination of both of that. The offense and the lack of closing games when you have opportunities to close games.
Right. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, too. That was so frustrating about yesterday. Yeah, they didn't score a lot of runs. But you got to the ninth inning with three outs to get and a lead. And your $10.5 million reliever on the mound. And to me, he's your highest paid player. And so while he's done some good work this year, he's also had far too many of these kind of games where he didn't get the job done.
I mean, totally.
So it's fair to criticize him. It's fair to say.
He has not been anywhere near the pitcher they thought he was going to be. I think that's safe to assume. He's been wild. He's given up 20 runs in 32 innings. He's walked 32. You wouldn't expect that. He's got, I'm sure, one of the worst whips going in the game from a reliever point of view. If you're looking at all these different metrics, he just hasn't done it. And yesterday was another good example of that. So, you know, your hope was that he could solidify that with Bednar, and it looked good on paper. I'll be the first to admit that. When I saw it, the pressure's on the starters. The starters have given you everything you could possibly want, and yet they're in this situation.
Right. Absolutely. You got to, you know, you have to, if you get starting pitching like they've got, you've got to win more games. I think Dan Zangrilli has 21 games or something now they've lost where their starter's gone six or more innings.
Yeah, and normally in those situations, you should win 90% of them.
Help me, Dan, please. I can't take it anymore.
Right. That's the biggest thing. It's just one of those things where, to me, it feels like they have wasted a month. We've been talking for a month, Bob, about them going and getting help for the offense. Maybe going and trying to get some help for their bullpen.
Right. They could have done it earlier. I know everybody tells you what's harder to do. Okay. Well, sometimes you got to make hard decisions and try to help a team out that needs some help.
That's
in a very tightly contested race that's still, if you're 500, you're in a good position.
Right.
So you would think you should be 500 at this juncture of five-year plans.
Well, I'm just saying, I really, really struggle to understand why, when it became apparent early in June that this team needed offensive help, when it became apparent early in June that this starting rotation was as good as it has been, why not go out and make a move then?
They could have. I don't think anyone would have blamed them to do it. They would have been encouraged by it. Now, if it doesn't work, okay. You live with that. And I hope, because previous ones didn't work, influences how they choose to do it now. Because I think Noah said it well, too. I don't know if it's worth now rental players. Depending on the next 7 games or so, how much will a rental player help you? You're going to need more than one.
Right.
And when Ben Cherington talks about internal solutions, okay, fine. Show me where they are. You know, they have to come from Hayes, Suwinski, Taylor, Grandal, all of them, and they haven't gotten them.
Right.
So what other internal solutions are there?
I don't know that there really are. I keep hearing, well, this guy's got to get better, that guy's got to get better. Yeah, but again, Rowdy Tellez and Brian Reynolds went crazy in June. They're both likely to regress some, which means you have to, whatever improvement you're going to get from Cabrian Hayes or whoever you think you're going to get, it's probably going to be offset because baseball is a 162-game season. It's a long-haul sport. These short sample sizes do nothing for me. Over the course of the long haul, what is your team going to do? Well, like, again, okay, maybe Cabrian Hayes gets a little better. Maybe Suwinski gets a little better. Who else? Maybe
Cruz can get better. Henry Davis can show up and actually do something.
Right, but when's he coming up?
I don't know.
You know, Bart is obviously an upgrade over Grandal, but at the same token, like I said, you know, Nick Gonzalez went crazy in May. Well, he's regressed a little bit.
Yeah, but he came up with a big hit. I still like him, and I think that's the one guy who's developed.
He's not going to hit 305 this year, like he was.
No, they need others to chip in on this. There's no question about it.
Tellez hit like 480 or something in June. He's not going to hit like that the rest of the year. He'll hit, but he ain't going to hit like at that clip. Mm-hmm. Brian Reynolds had that stretch of 25 games where he couldn't get him out. But he's going to come back a little bit to the mean. He's going to regress a little bit. So you've got regression maybe from those two, you know, and – maybe a little regression even, but just kind of holding steady for Nick Gonzalez. And then, okay, so that happens. Now you have to offset that with other guys getting better. It's just, it's not realistic to sit here and say, oh, we got internal options, because you don't.
No, the internal options are on your team already. And if that's what he's referring to, then they better all start doing it. Right. I find it interesting next year what they do with Henry Davis. If you're going to have Andy Rodriguez come back healthy, and you hope he is, and then you have Bart, who they acquired, and I can't see them departing with Joey Bart, given his, you know, number two overall selection. I think he was Sue overall. And the fact that he's actually somebody you could work with, where would Henry Davis figure in on this? Does he have to go to a different position? Is he a DH?
DH, probably.
Well, if he's a DH, only if he can hit. You got to hit. If you can't hit, then that's going to go down as one of the worst picks ever. So hopefully he gets it together and gets up here and does something quickly.
Yeah.
They need him to.
But I don't think he will. I think what they're going to do is let him down there, let him hit as much as he can hit.
But let's say after the break they need a right hand. I mean, let's say he's hit. He goes through this week and he's showing progress. Do you just leave him down there or do you bring him up? What do you do? It's time to get somebody who can hit, and maybe he's worth a try. But if so, where?
Yeah. I'm just saying, if he comes up and, you know, maybe he's your DH next year, right? And you have Andy Rodriguez and Joey Bart maybe next year as your catchers. You know, I think there's things to be said, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I don't know that there's all that many solutions on this team. That's what's frustrating. You know, we can sit here and say O'Neill Cruz has more to give. Yeah, he does. Absolutely. But he's kind of still a rookie, you know?
Yep, he is.
There's just not that many realistic options to get better other than going out and getting some help, going out and getting a couple of guys that actually can hit, that can put the ball in play, that can move runners over, that can get on base, that can hit, you know, that can drive the ball a little bit. They need to go get those guys. I don't know who they are or where they're at. You know, there's all the names that we hear all the time from the White Sox or the Marlins or the Rockies or whatever. But to me,
the problem there is that a lot of teams are going to want the same people. There are only so many teams that are going to be supplying these kinds of players. And so you're going to have other teams making offers.
Yeah.
And now you've invited all that to come into play. So,
but it wouldn't even, it wouldn't, put it this way. I think they probably could live the rest of the season with Joey Bart as mostly their catcher.
I agree.
I think if he continues to just kind of do what he's done a little bit, you know, they could live with Rowdy Tellez as their first baseman. They kind of get two outfielders. That's the biggest
thing. That's going to be hard to do.
If you can go get two outfielders, then you can put the Connor Joes and the Oliveras and the, you know, all those other guys, put them all on the bench. You know, keep Sawinski around as a left-handed bat off the bench. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you could actually make some moves like that where you have some flexibility with some guys, where you all of a sudden can get...
And they're better in their roles. Right. They're not better the longer you start them, the worse results you'll probably get.
Like Jared Triolo.
No disrespect, but they're not everyday guys.
Like Jared Triolo is a great example. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's been rather inconsistent at the plate, too. They all have. I just, you know, that's the immediate correction you need to make. Score more runs, make this pitching staff win more games because they're giving you that opportunity.
Right. That's the biggest. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thing. Well, I guess Mitch Keller wants to send the message that he ain't exactly happy, that he was not included in the All-Star game. What do you think?
Yeah, made quick work of the first couple batters.
He struck out the first two, and then I didn't say he got the third one out. Was it a strikeout or was it a ground out?
It was a strikeout.
Okay, three straight strikeouts. And that's all you need to know there, right? It's just amazing to me, really. If you think about it,
I would imagine that he is going to eventually get in as a replacement for someone, whether it be now he could be in line to start Saturday or Sunday. Could that take him out of line to pitch Tuesday? We'll see. But I would think that whether it be an injury that comes up, somebody that pitches on Sunday, Keller's going to be named to the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Well, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, it is. It is one of these things where, if you look, I did not realize that his numbers in terms of his ERA and his WHIP were that far down. I thought he was closer to the top. So there's other guys that actually probably have...
You mean closer to four or closer to three?
Closer to the top of the list.
Yeah.
I didn't realize his numbers were... I thought he was... You know, I thought he was top 10 in those categories.
Well, he gave up six. I think five of them were earned in his last start over five innings. So right. That ballooned his ERA a little bit.
That certainly doesn't help, for sure. But like when we looked at his numbers before, his WHIP, his WHIP is actually. He's actually behind Falter and Jared Jones on that list. I mean, he's outside the top 50. He's 53rd in WHIP, which is, you know, there's a lot of guys in between him and the top. Strikeouts for nine. You know, he's, 46th in strikeouts per nine. ERA... He is 35th. So, I mean, if you look at all these numbers, and I guess if you, you know, have to have a WAR, right? WAR, he is 41st. So, I mean, I don't know that he's, like, I don't know that he would be the next guy, would he? War. W-A-R. War. Yeah, I don't know that he would be the next guy or the next three or four guys.
Yeah, there's a possibility that he would not be.
Yeah, I didn't realize, like I said, when I started looking at all his numbers.
But he had a 3-2 ERA against Cincinnati before that start against St. Louis where he gave up the six.
Right. It just feels like it's one of those situations where, you know, there's other guys in between him and the top of the list. I do find it, you know, amazing that the one stat that he probably is closer to in that conversation is wins. And there's a lot of, you know, these new-aged baseball guys who don't think wins are all that important for a pitcher. I don't know. What do you think?
Keller, well, I'm just pulling up the NL instead of just all Major League Baseball. In terms of wins, is currently tied for fourth.
Right.
The guys that are higher, Chris Sale, all-star. Ranger Suarez, all-star. Aaron Nola, I think, is an all-star.
Yeah, he is.
And Sonny Gray of St. Louis.
And he's tied with Wheeler.
Yeah, and he's tied with Zach Wheeler, who's an all-star, and Gavin Stone of the Dodgers, who's had a good year so far.
That's the thing. If you look at the Philly staff right now, you know.
Philly's had, what, seven all-stars?
But again, they probably deserve that many.
Yeah, they do, as the best team in the NL. Their bullpen, I think, got a couple guys
in. Yeah, their best team. They're not just the best team. I mean, they've got three guys on pace to have 200 innings and 200 strikeouts. Think about that.
Yeah, that's unreal. Longevity and health.
And for all of the, you know, analytics wonks out there, all three of them have a whip of one or less. So, at the end of the day, 200 innings, and frankly, they're all on pace to win 20 games, which we don't usually get 20 game winners anymore.
No. It's only happened, what? I think we said once 2 years ago. I don't think it happened at all last year. There was 1 year in the last 5 years that it did not happen at all. And it's either happened one or two times.
If you think about it, 20 game winner with 200 strikeouts, 200 innings. Like, how many of those guys probably in the last 25 years?
I'd say three or four.
20, 25 years. The Phillies might have three right now, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, the bender that they're on right now is unstoppable.
And the thing about them, they've got lots of money. They've got lots of trade chips.
They have a lot of depth in that organization.
They have a lot of depth. They're going to probably make a move or two to get better.
Yeah, I've seen reports that they are in talks on a lot of different guys to try to make a big splash and try to get another bat.
Yeah.
To add to a lineup that already has Schwarber, Bohm, Realmuto, Harper, Trey Turner. Like, where do you fit a bat in that lineup? Castellanos probably in the outfield.
Aren't they the ones that they've been talking about Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, Cody Bellinger. Would you DH him?
Well, you got Schwarber to DH.
Yeah, because you don't play Schwarber in the outfield anymore. So Bellinger would be your starting center fielder then.
Right. So that's the key to me. But it'll be kind of fun to sort of see how it all plays out. That's the big thing. How does it all play out when it comes to... Now, the other thing is for the Pirates, there are conversations to be had about possibly trading. Like we talked about the other day, and everybody got all mad at me because I suggested that if the right deal came along for Mitch Keller, you would make it. But people lost their minds about it. And, of course, you know, I had all the usual numbskulls who act like they're experts on baseball, and clearly they don't know. First of all, they don't know a thing about the Pirates. They're just fanboys. And secondly, they don't understand baseball.
Well, they also didn't watch the video. They just went off of a caption and made their own assumptions.
Exactly. But the reality of the situation is that if you think about it, his contract is something that is actually a strength in terms of what you might be able to get for him because he is signed. That's the big thing.
Yeah, but he's signed for a reasonable number.
That's the point.
And he's pitching over that reasonable number in terms of the quality of...
Which is the point.
Which is the point of why you keep him.
Well, no, I'm saying that is the point. He's 20. He's going to be 29 years old next year. But you have him sign 15, 16, 18, 20. You think? Let me ask you a question. Do you really think in 2027 the Pirates are going to pay Mitch Keller $18 million?
It's a very difficult question to answer. I think
31-year-old pitcher, they're going to pay $18 million?
I think yes, but it's very easy to say no because of just the history that we've seen in this organization.
2028, a 32-year-old pitcher, they're going to pay him $20 million?
Yeah, that I don't see.
Okay. So really we're talking about 2 years.
You're talking about 25, 26, 27. Maybe three.
Two. I don't see them paying him $18 million at 31 years old. So my point with him is you have him signed to a very team-friendly deal. His value as a pitcher right now is as high as, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but 31 for a pitcher, the cliff doesn't fall off at 30. Not for a lot of major league hitters.
But they like their guys to be younger than that.
They do.
All I'm saying is you've got 4 years of control at a very team-friendly number for a pitcher, right? And again, I'm not saying give him away, but if someone came along with a really knock-your-socks-off kind of deal, you know, I would say you have to think about it.
But that is, like, you keep rebuilding. It's just, all right, well, we have a good player. Let's trade it off.
Are you really rebuilding when you already have Jones, Skeens, Falter, you have Oviedo coming back, you have Ortiz, you know what I mean?
But you're not talking about trading a three starter. You're talking about a top-of-the-rotation guy.
Well, he's your third starter behind Jones and
I think
and
he's
Skeens.
Better than Jones.
Behind Jones and Skeens, he's your top two. And those are your top two guys. I mean, numbers don't lie. All I'm saying is those two guys are at the top of your rotation. You've got, you know, Falter, who is pretty good. You've got Oviedo coming back. You've got, you know, you got the Ashcraft. You've got Bubba Chandler. You've got guys that are already, you know what I mean? It's not like your rotation. If you trade Mitch Keller, you're basically saying, oh, well, our rotation can't compete next year. Actually, I think your rotation would be fine. But here's the thing. You would have to guarantee me that the $15 million you're saving, you're going to spend on another player. That's the key.
Yeah, do you think that they're going to do that?
Well, that's the key.
That you can't guarantee or hold your breath on. And your team's dream of having this type of big three at the top of the rotation. I just don't understand. I can't fathom getting rid of it when you have it. At least at this point, especially.
I don't completely disagree. But I think the idea that it should not even be on the table is silly.
We've also seen Ben Cherington's trades, like, what prospects has he brought in that has really done anything? Andy Rodriguez, I guess you can say so, but he's gotten hurt. He's not playing at all this year. Like, out of the trades that they've made, the Starling Marte was the first deal that they made. They acquired Leover Peguero, who's stuck in AAA, and a pitcher who's, I don't even think, has reached AA. Who else have they traded that have been valuable guys? I mean, the deal that they got Oviedo in for Jose Quintana is probably one of the better trades.
Right.
That's basically it. Right? I mean, the Colin Holderman deal, trading away Vogelbach for Holderman, those are the main two that stand out to me. Other than that, there's not a lot of moves that Ben Cherington has made on the trade front that I've been impressed with.
No, but again, I mean,
so that's why I hold my breath.
Right, but my point is you got to give him the opportunity, right?
Well, he's had opportunities.
I'm saying
with other deals.
He's in charge right now. He's in charge. So if they're going to make deals, it's going to be him making a deal. No matter what the deal is. No matter if it's getting rid of Perez or Chapman or whatever. You know?
Well, yeah, Reynolds at this point are probably going to go. They're going to go to other teams like Chapman and Perez and Gonzalez and maybe even Rowdy Tellez.
I was going to say.
Why not sell high on Rowdy Tellez right now?
If you can,
if you're selling, if you are selling, Rowdy Tellez is potentially going to be able to bring something back. Like that Jose Quintana deal. I mean, he was on an expiring contract,
right?
Had a pretty good season, and you were able to acquire a four, maybe a three starter in Oviedo.
Right. All I'm saying is, I think if you're the Pirates, you have to be proactive. And proactive doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go out and get Reynolds, or you're going to, I mean, you might make a deal for somebody like a Mitch Keller or even a Bednar. I know that. Yeah, well, he's a, listen, my question to all of the people that lose their minds and were spitting at their monitors and saying I'm doing hot takes and all that other crap last week when I suggested that Mitch Keller and Bednar could be traded. Do you want a team that's going to be 78 wins this year, 79 wins this year, and 79 wins next year? Or do you want to have a team that might have a chance next year if you make the right moves to win?
I think Bednar would have to be in the offseason because his value is not very high right now.
Well, he's hurt, obviously.
Due to the injury and the inconsistencies this year.
He's hurt. My point is, I think when I look at your bullpen with the Holdermans, I mean, the Nicholas kid, I think, is whatever his name is, Nicholas. That kid's getting better. He's got a good arm. He's got a live arm. You got Holderman. You know what I mean? You've got guys down there. And they've never had a hard time finding somebody to close the game.
Yeah, but their lack of depth has been exposed this season.
Well, they keep getting guys hurt. I get that. But you can go get relievers to do your sixth, seventh, and eighth innings. The biggest thing is, who is going to shut the door at the end of the game? I think you have some options. All I'm saying is if you were able to get something of value back for Keller or Bednar or both, plus the money that you were saving on Keller, you should be able to make your team much better next year. And you might acquire enough prospects that at the trade deadline next year, you might be able to go get a real legitimate player or two with the chips that you have to trade to make the final stretch, you know what I mean, at the end of the year.
I'd be much more willing on Bednar than Keller.
All I'm saying is it's not out of the realm of what would make sense.
No, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
And especially since they have never had a problem identifying the Martin Perez's, the Marco Gonzalez's, the Rich Hills, all those kind of guys that you can sign one of those guys to be your fifth or sixth starter. You know what I mean?
But you're talking about an innings eater compared to a guy at the front end of your rotation that's made the All-Star game a couple times.
But my point is, you have those guys. It ain't like you don't have those guys. My point is, you have enough options to fill your rotation out that it should be good. With or without Keller, your rotation should be good next year.
So if a Keller trade were to happen, you would trade it for bats?
I would trade it for maybe a couple of controllable bats. And, you know, maybe a reliever or a relief arm or something. I don't know. I mean, I would have to see what the deal looks like. But obviously, yes, that would be something. Now, again, here's why I wouldn't do it now. Well, I might. I don't know. I'd have to see the deal. Everybody says, oh, you're crazy. You wouldn't do that. Okay, well, you don't even know what the deal is.
Yeah, Baltimore's offering their two top prospects who are blocked right now, who are supposed to be like big-time hitters, and everyone knows it, then you have to significantly consider it.
Right.
I don't think it'll happen.
What, you know, like I said this the other day, I was talking to somebody about this, and they were going on and on and on. Oh, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. There's no way. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. What if Baltimore offered you Gunnar Henderson and their two top prospects? You wouldn't do that?
Well, that's true.
Well, my point is, so there are some deals out there that you would think about.
Realistically.
Yes.
Like Gunnar Henderson's going to win the MVP of the American League.
I get that, but my point is, there are deals out there if someone were to knock your socks off.
Yeah, you were blown away.
Obviously, the Orioles aren't going to do that. It'd be stupid. That's not what I'm saying, because that'll be the next thing. Oh, he's saying that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are deals out there. Before you shut it down, there are some deals out there that I might have some interest in.
Yeah, my point is 2013, 2014, 2015, when you had Gerrit Cole at the front end, Burnett winning 15 games or so, Jay Happ's revelation in the second half, Lurianno doing what he did. Teams that are winning playoff games and go to the playoffs and are good are built on the starting rotation.
Right.
Now, that was also the argument that you can make this year, that the front end of the rotation get the job done. And clearly we've seen that it's more than that.
Right.
And if one lever turns on, the other one turns off. The rotation does well, the bullpen flounders. Or if the bullpen's doing well and the rotation's doing well, they can't hit anything. So it's got to be a little bit more of a combination of that. But if you have three horses, if you have it, I just think it's dumb to get rid of it because everyone's chasing it.
Well, everyone is chasing it, but you have those guys, right? You do have those.
Well, we
guys.
Don't know. Bubba Chandler hasn't thrown a major league pitch.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't thrown a pitch in AAA.
He hasn't.
Braxton Ashcraft had an arm injury that kept him out for a year.
Right.
How good is Thomas Harrington? I don't know.
Well, I mean, well, all I'm saying is, if you look at 2013, when they really they won the wild card and probably should have even won the NLDS, right?
There's no doubt.
They had Burnett, obviously. Burnett actually had a losing record that year. Did you know that?
No.
Yes.
In 13.
In 2013. But if you look at those guys, that, you know, Liriano, Burnett, Locke, Garrett Cole. I think it was a rookie, wasn't he, that year?
Yeah, 13.
Charlie Morton. You know, I mean, obviously that's a pretty good rotation. But, and Wandy Rodriguez was on that team. I forgot all about him. But I'm just saying, like I said, I think sometimes that people get so caught up in our guy, our guy, our guy. It's like, well, you need to have an entire team. And now you're probably not going to sign Rowdy Tellez again next year because they don't do that, right? They bring these rental guys in for 1 year.
Yeah, and that'll be it.
And that'll be it.
We'll end up trying to put Henry Davis or Andy Rodriguez at first base.
Yeah, which wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So
which one?
Well, Henry Davis, I mean, how many positions are they going to try him at before they realize he's probably just not a good defensive player? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And to me, the thing about Andrew McCutchen is he still does get on base.
And he still has pop.
And he still has a little 12 bit of home power. Runs? But my question is, are you going to continue to run him out there next year?
I would think so. But it also blocks Henry Davis from being the designated hitter.
I just say, like, that's a problem to me.
Double-edged sword.
You know? Sun Chevy, it's Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 and rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 91 today with sunny skies. I think I hit everything that hour, so we can roll. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.